Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, friends, let's get at it as we get started today. It is Wednesday. Great to have you with us in Political Coffee, the show where we try to talk about the political issues of the day that really do matter in your life and do it in a way that helps you change your world. By giving you thoughts and ideas about how you can have meaningful conversations with other people in your world and persuade the persuadable. See, ultimately it's up to you. And I hope that you find value in that, and I truly mean that. That's why I do this show. Because I care about the future of this great republic. The shining city on the hill that Reagan talked about, which, by the way, you know that passage comes from the Bible. Did you know that? It does. It's true. And that's what America is. America is this beacon to the entire world. That's why the world wants to come here. That's why they're flooding across the southern border. Thank you, Joe Biden. Oh, did you see that a federal judge has extended the moratorium on Joe Biden's executive order, suspending deportations, even for violent, illegal, alien criminals. Yeah, a federal judge said, we're going to extend that another couple of weeks because he's been sued by the Texas Attorney General. Good for him. All right, here's what we're talking about today, friends. Let me ask you this question. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative Republican Party? Let me say that again. I want you to think about this. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative Republican Party? Will Trump continue to fight and keep the movement going? There's an interesting piece in The Federalist, and I think this is foundational to our conversations today because it does point in, really, truly, it points in the direction of how you can change your world. I'm also going to talk about how you are the reason Republican conservatives will retake control of Congress. And I'm going to give an example why. And it relates to the Federalist article. It's also a Federalist article, but it's most interesting. House Bill 2543. Permanent denial of your right here in Oregon. This bill was introduced. Permanent denial of your right to buy a gun. Oh, just because the Oregon State Police just can't seem to get to your application. Ever. It ain't good, folks. Hey, did you know, and by the way, thanks to James, did you know there's a Socialist Rifle Association? Yes, apparently there is. A Socialist Rifle Association. There is. And then Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy's lame excuse for voting for the impeachment trial. And I'm going to read to you my email that I sent him. And this relates back to you're the reason Republican conservatives are going to retake control of Congress. It's because it's up to you. And this needs to happen all across America. It is this enduring populist conservative Republican Party that Trump has created. Now, this is also why the left is going to lose. Now, I want you to be encouraged by this because this is really true. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to jeff@kslm.news or jeff@1220.am. The prostitution segment yesterday brought quite a response in terms of email. Rich writes, it is Rob Nossi who brought the bill forward. Not sure what or who is behind it. So who's going to make money off such a bad bill? One wonders, don't we? Yes. Now, Rob Nossi is a gay Democrat. Okay, so what? So you wonder, though, who's going to profit from this? We'll also get into, Rich wrote another email about NSA software and it's in the deep state's best interest to keep that software in play. Yeah, it is. That is absolutely true. Another Rich writes an email about prostitution. He says, morning, Jeff. I am so disgusted at the Democrats and how they're dismantling this state one new law at a time. Soon you won't even recognize it. So now that they want to legalize prostitution, this begs these questions. And these are good questions. Listen, will the state tax it? Will there be a brothel on every corner like there are pot shops? Will there be equality such as brothels for women? Will there be gay brothels? Whatever the answer, it'll be another disaster for Oregon, as all of the Democrats' ideas are. Lee writes an email about women in America. Since, you know, I said this is exactly how the Democrats talk a good line, but actually their policies hurt the very people they say they purport to say that they're really saving, that they care about. You know, like you working class folks, you poor people. Lee writes this, we stand for you. Women in America, Democrats say, we stand for you. We feel you. We understand it's your body and your choice. We understand that mistakes happen. You can correct it. We believe that the oldest profession should be legal in every state. We believe it's time to stand for the rights that have been suppressed by a man. We are the Democratic Party. Yep. Those are the responses I got from you all yesterday regarding that topic. I didn't get to them yesterday, and that's why I read them today, because the topic's not going away. Now I want to get to motivation, this email, because it's going to bring me into the main subject of the day. Has Trump created a populist, conservative Republican Party? Yeah, he has. But here's this email from James. Can we agree that January the 6th did not help President Trump or the MAGA movement? Yes, we can. He goes on. None of the negative outcome was Trump's doing. If I was in Las Vegas, I'd be betting that McConnell and Pelosi were either directly or indirectly responsible for the Capitol chaos. They had the intelligence and chose not to act on it because they knew it would fit their narrative. What dumb luck to disrupt the election fraud hearings and blame it on Trump. We're not seeing anything about why they did nothing to prevent the violence. There's got to be a way of putting the blame where it belongs. That's from Jimmy. Now, great point. There's got to be a way of putting the blame where it belongs. Well, yes, there is. If Republicans in the Senate, even some of the more bold ones, are willing to do it. Now, Mark Levin covered this very well yesterday, so I'm not going to go back over plowed ground here. The way for this to get exposed about, as more information becomes known, Liz Cheney, that more information seems to be that every day we're learning more and more about how the FBI and the Capitol Police Chief were aware that something was going to go down. So the question needs to be for both McConnell and Pelosi, and this is what could come out of the Senate trial that I don't think will, but could. If the Senate votes to subpoena witnesses in the trial, then why wouldn't the Trump team, and here's the danger for McConnell and Pelosi, why wouldn't they call McConnell and McConnell's staff and Pelosi and her staff and subpoena them to testify as to what they knew about the potential threat? Because the Capitol chief of police, as Levin has noted, he in fact warned them. He briefed members of Congress. Who did he brief? He could be called as a witness. If McConnell and Pelosi either directly or indirectly said, nah, we're not going to worry about it.
Oopsies.
That creates a little bit of a problem for them, doesn't it? Now, what? There's no reason Trump's team wouldn't do this if Democrats are stupid enough and Republicans are stupid enough to go along with the idea of calling witnesses. We'll see. There's this piece. All of this leads me into why the left cannot understand Trump's appeal. This is profound. Now, I'm going to read through this piece, and I want you to just bear with me because there are a couple of truly important points here. One of them has led me to say what I said in my open. And again, here's what it is. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative Republican Party? Yes, he has. And the left cannot understand it. This is a piece written by John Daniel Davidson today in The Federalist. Republicans aren't motivated by resentment, is the subheadline. They're motivated by self-preservation in the face of a highly aggressive left. This is what the Democrats and the left don't understand. 120 consecutive nights in downtown Portland of violent protest, many of them declared riots in Portland, is changing politics in Oregon, friends. Not just America, in Oregon, blue Oregon. Why? Because of the sub-headline, folks. Republicans aren't motivated by resentment. They're motivated by self-preservation in the face of a highly aggressive left. I'm going to get into this when we come back. We're going to go away. 6:20 in the morning is...
Hating believers have light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of the...
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Twenty-two minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us today, friends. Yes, all of the regular phone lines are working. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. or jeff@kslm.news, and I will try to read it on the air. Appreciate you listening and contributing. All right, why the left still can't understand Trump's appeal. And in this article in The Federalist by John Daniel Davidson, he has a statement that he makes. It's that Trump has created an enduring populist conservative Republican Party. And he makes the case for this, and I think he's right. Now, you would probably think populism and conservatism cannot coexist in the Republican Party. And I think he makes the case that it can. Now, I add a twist to it. I asked a question, has Trump created an enduring populist conservative Republican Party? Now, to answer that question, you have to first agree with the idea that Trump created a populist conservative Republican Party. I think that's pretty obvious. The question is, does it endure? I say it does, which will lead me to the second Federalist article today about you're the reason why Republican conservatives will retake control of Congress. It's because small dollar conservative donors have stepped up to the plate. All right. The corporate press is awash in articles speculating about the future of the Republican Party after Donald Trump. That's how this article begins. And they're right. We're all kind of thinking about where do we go after Trump? Which is why Trump's not going away anywhere, folks. He's just biding his time. Got to get a stupid trial out of the way. Got to expose more rhinos. And we got to get some Supreme Court cases out of the way. Anyway, here's the rest of it. Will it purge the Republican Party, pro-Trump elements, and return to some semblance of its pre-2016 form, or double down on Trumpism and Trump defending him even in the face of a major electoral loss, well, electoral steal, and a Senate impeachment trial? Most such articles, John Daniel Davidson writes, entirely misunderstand what's going on in the Republican Party and how to think about Trump's takeover of the party. He goes on to talk about this piece by MSNBC's far left Chris Hayes, who wrote this piece in The Atlantic entitled, "The Republican Party is Radicalizing Against Democracy." The thrust of his argument, Danielson writes, is that Republicans have given up on policy fights of the past and are instead motivated today by a set of resentments, often intensely gendered and radicalized, about who will run the country. And as evidence, he cites the 2004 election in which gay marriage and the Iraq War were major motivating issues for Republican voters. Today, most Republicans oppose the Iraq War and don't really care about gay marriage, at least as a matter of public policy. He also notes the disconnect between the Republican donor class. Now, this is where we're going to get to the second article today and how you are the reason we're going to retake control of Congress and, frankly, a lot of other things. Anyway, he continues. The disconnect between the GOP donor class, which cares about things like corporate tax cuts and deregulation, and ordinary Trump voters who, Hayes says, above all, want a party that fights for them like Trump did. An accurate, if oversimplified, description. Let me stop there for a moment. Yes, that is exactly what Trump voters want. They want a party who will fight for them. Now, that's more than just Republican voters. Hear me out. A lot of people voted for Trump that are not Republicans. They could be if a party stands up and fights for them. Hello, Oregon Republican Party. Now, State Senator Dallas Hurd and former State Senator Herman Bertziger and current serving State Senator Dennis Linthicum are all running as a slate to replace the current leadership of the Oregon Republican Party. Do they get this? Does the current leadership that's running for re-election get it and understand this? I don't know. But they had better. He continues, Hayes is wrong to explain all these in terms of gendered and radicalized resentments, as if Trump voters either don't understand or don't care about policy and view the Republican Party simply as a vehicle to express their preferences. And he goes on to, he's why the Republican Party has changed since 04. Well, you got to understand why many conservatives agreed to support W's Republican Party in 04 in the first place and then came to regret it. There's two parts to this, he argues, and I think he's right. The first has to do with policy and the divide between the donor class and the Republican establishment on one hand and Trump's Republican base on the other. That divide is stark, and the two sides have been drifting apart for decades, and they're right about that. Trump exposed this drift for the chasm it has become in 2016 not by stoking a set of resentments, as Hayes writes, but by giving voice to policies that Republican voters really cared about. Now, I would add that other voters outside the Republican Party cared about, like Make America Great Again. And the donor class begrudgingly gave lip service to, like abortion and immigration and trade, and then totally ignored whenever Republicans gained power. Party leaders and the donor class, the Mitch McConnells, the Paul Ryans, ignored all of this stuff that they gave lip service to and totally ignored it once Trump came to power. Now, Trump won the nomination by exploiting this rift. That leads us to the deep parts of this story. Back in a moment, 6:30, you're not going to want to go away. Listen to this.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. The answer to the question I pose, if you're just joining us, is this. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative GOP? The answer is, that depends on you. It's that simple, folks. I put this entire show plan and everything we're talking about up on my Facebook page. It's there right now. Now, I'm going to go to the phones in just a moment here, but a couple things I need to do. First, is to thank Freedom Heating and Air for being one of our sponsors. We're going to get some incredibly cold weather here as the polar vortex hits us. Maybe some snow, probably some freezing rain. If your furnace, if your heat pump is not keeping up, or maybe it just quit on you, you had better call Freedom Heating and Air immediately. They're right here in Salem. They've been here a long time. They have great emergency services. They can get out there and they can make it work right for you. Check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net. Now, let me set up the rest of the conversation here before I take these calls. Again, from the Federalist article. Quote, Trump won the Republican nomination by exposing and exploiting this rift in the Republican Party between the donor class and the party leaders, the establishment, and the base, the people that want a fighter, that believe in America and want to make it great again. By siding with voters on issues they care about over and against the donor class, Trump was also able to bring in new voters to the party and win the presidency. That also, by the way, benefited us in Oregon and all across the country because he was the catalyst for that. He continues, in so doing, he pointed the way forward for the GOP to become a populist conservative party. Unapologetically patriotic and pro-American, yes. But also willing to use the power of the federal government to help ordinary people rather than always serve special interests. Now, I'm going to stop there. Because that led to the creation. As I read that, and it's something I've believed for a long time, and you've heard me talk about this, led me to write this question. Has Trump created an enduring populist conservative Republican Party? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. We'll start on the phones with Art, and then we'll move to our second caller. Art, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Great show topic. Absolutely correct. You're spot on. Trump has exposed the swamp and created many enemies. And, you know, they have to do everything to get rid of him. However, we know what the swamp is. We know what's going on. And if we do not take our country back, then we get what we deserve. And there is no doubt about that. And, Jeff, one of the things that we can do today that I'm absolutely pissed off is our dang governor. Yesterday, she opened up Clackamas County more, Washington County more, but she kept us closed, Jeff. And you know why she did? It's because she doesn't want us in the Capitol affecting what they're doing, and that's unacceptable, and we need to push back, and we need to push back very hard. We need to, like you said, get very involved, but the time has come for our country to become what it's supposed to be, what Trump wanted it to be, is a country that's for the people and not for the bureaucrats and the special interest groups that screw us every day, including people like my representative, Kurt Schrader, who bases his decision on what's going to line his pockets more because of his involvement with the pharmaceuticals. We are paying for them to get rich, and we need to stop it. We need to take our country back. We need to make sure that laws are created that benefit us and not them. The time has come, Jeff, and we start today by pushing back what Kate Brown did yesterday to keep us out of the state capitol while they do their, well, some of these bills you've already exposed. I'm sure there's more, but it is up to us, Jeff. We have allowed the bureaucrats to take over our country, and it hurts all of us.
All right. You're right on the money, and I think that you may have hit a nail on the head as to precisely why. Ultimately, Kate does not want to open up Marion County. Yes, they're using data to say that, but it's not greatly different than the Portland area counties, the tri-county area. I think you're right. I don't think they want us in the Capitol building because they want to ram through bills like House Bill 2543 that allows permanent denial of your right to buy a gun because the Oregon State Police just can't get to your application. That's an absolute infringement on your right.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, Jeff. You know they're going to ram more taxes down our throats. They're going to take away more and more of our rights. I mean, they even want to take away they want to tax the money that we're getting from this stimulus. etc. It's unacceptable. They don't care about us as individuals. All they care about is how they can line their pockets.
The way we fix all of that, and Art, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to move on to the next caller here. The way we fix this
great,
is what we're talking about, folks. It's up to you. Yeah, Trump is the head of a populist, conservative, Republican Party. And I'll get into more of this, but folks, if this is going to endure, and boy, it had better if we want to save the Republic, and that's the thesis of this thing. This is what the left doesn't understand. But a lot of the Republican Party don't understand it either. Why we are motivated to stand and fight. It's because we truly fear that we are in danger. And the left doesn't get that. And a lot in the Republican Party don't get it. And they need to. That's why it depends on us. Because once we can communicate that to people in our world and we persuade the persuadable, then we start changing who wins elections. Conservatives start getting elected right here in the state level. And then they start standing up and fighting the way they ought to be fighting for. Now, I give conservatives and I give even some rhinos some credit in the Republican Party for walking out the way they've done, using the only tool they had left. That was the right thing to do. They've got to keep it up. And we've got to continue to give them backbone. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say today?
This is Michael Keith. Hey, Jeff.
How are you, friend?
Hey,
I can barely hear you. Can you speak up closer to your phone?
Yeah, my microphone's got a little problem. But can't hear
speak
me.
Loudly. Go.
Okay, so we got the trial in the Senate, right?
Yes.
The bill of attainment will come after the trial. Now, are all the senators who vote in favor of impeaching Trump and on this bill of attainment, are they guilty of treason?
Well, I think they are certainly guilty of violating their oath of office in that they're not upholding the Constitution. Now, treason's a different standard, and treason, by the way, is defined in federal law. So I don't know if they're guilty of treason.
Not waging war against the Constitution or the United States. It's what they're doing, they could tell it's wrong. Because the Supreme Court is going to knock it down and say, hey, that's a bill of attainment. That's not allowed.
It is. You're right about that. And Mark Levin made that very clear yesterday. A bill of attainder is not constitutional in this circumstance. And I think you're right. So let me ask you this. You're pretty confident that Trump's lawyers, no matter what, are going to put this in front of the Supreme Court?
Well, they should. I mean, that's the only place for it to go after the Senate.
I agree totally. Which leads us to, do you think that Trump's legal team is going to go so far as to dive into stolen election evidence in this trial?
I don't think that matters. It's the bill of attainder that matters.
I think you're right. I don't think they're going there, and I think it is the bill of attainder that matters. Great comment. Thank you. When we come back from the break, I'll take another caller at 6:48. Don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. The Daily Wire is reporting that Trump is beyond angry and furious over how his impeachment defense team performed yesterday. They're getting lots of criticism. But in this article, by the way, it says that Trump had a whole bunch of lawyers quit just days before the trial. Why? Because as CNN, the New York Times, and the AP noted, they're all suspect reporting, by the way, that Trump wanted them to focus on the claims that the election was stolen through election fraud. The lawyers said no. And that's when the parties decided to part ways. So no, I don't expect that Trump's team is going to make that argument. Let's go back to the phones. Caller, good morning. Who are you?
Are you talking to me? This is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. Yes, I am talking to you.
I don't know if Trump has created a movement that will work. He's a part of it, but he's not the movement. And I had a communication with a man who was demanding the Republican Party perform. And as long as we keep having people think that way, instead of becoming the kind of person that can step up to the plate themselves, we're not going to succeed. Because the Republican Party is just a vehicle, and it only is as effective as the people who are in it. And that the bigger picture in America is, are the people of America going to feel that they can use the gift that's been given to them by the founders, which is our republic? Are we going to use the republic?
You're right about that, Rebecca. Unfortunately, you're cutting in and out again. You got to find a better way to call. You're right about it, Rebecca. Trump is not the party. He is the representative of the party, and he's created this populist conservative GOP, the party. Now, the party's only as good as who's in it. True. So any organization, Rebecca, is only as good as its leadership. That's why Trump has to remain the leader of the party. And we need to elect other conservatives who believe in a populist conservative Republican Party.
Yes, and that's one of the battles that's going on right now in the Republican Party. You mentioned it earlier. And it depends on how many PCPs there are in the party who can vote the correct way and will show up to vote the correct way. And that's just one of the battles. This man that I spoke with a while back, his only goal was that the library get opened up again. As long as people see the bigger picture of all the things that the Democrats are doing to us, there's not going to be who will pour their heart and soul into showing up, becoming a piece, becoming educated, becoming a follower of Christ. This nation was founded on Jesus Christ. And if we don't know Jesus Christ and his goal of liberty, I've talked to so many people, it's around 1,000 people now, and I've asked them, do you know what the command of God is on the Liberty Bell? And so far I've only found 5 people who could ask me. If we don't know what's on the Liberty Bell, we can't understand what the vision of our nation was when our founders created it. They wanted a place where we could have we could have a nation where churches could have free reign to work out the kingdom of Christ in this world, where we could have, look at what America has been. Missionaries have gone all over the world and have given good things to all over the world. People have seen the liberty of Christ throughout the world because of America. And that's a direct consequence of our founders and their Christian faith. And one of them, I forget who, said we only have liberty as long as we're a moral and religious nation. And by religion, they didn't mean anything. They meant Christianity. They meant understanding the call of Christ to serve your fellow human beings and to lay down your life for them.
So, you're right, Rebecca. I'm going to let you go. You're still cutting in and out. It's a good point, and it is right. The Liberty Bell inscription is from a verse in Leviticus. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto the inhabitants, all the inhabitants thereof. Most people don't even know that that's a Bible verse. They don't even know what it is. They don't even know it's on the Liberty Bell, and that's what America stands for. Republicans need a fighter. That's the second part of this article, and I'm going to get to it in just a moment here. I also want to thank Eric Hazer of Righteous Renovations for being another one of our sponsors of this show and this radio station. He is a contractor you can trust. Don't take my word for it. Just look at his website and see the before and after pictures of some of their projects. And then read the very satisfied customer comments. Go to righteousrenovations.com. Righteousrenovations.com. See, the Republican Party is not moving forward based on resentments. We want a party that is going to fight. We want a fighter at the head of the party. Somebody's going to stand up to the overwhelming forces of the far left that dominate media, academia, Hollywood, big tech, and corporate America. That doesn't mean Republicans, by the way, he writes, don't care about policy. It just means that they also care about other things less obviously tied to a specific policy agenda. What are those examples? Republican voters, he writes, might have acquiesced on gay marriage, for example, but that doesn't mean they agreed to being forced to bake cakes for gay weddings. They might have made peace with the Affordable Care Act. That doesn't mean they support Catholic nuns being forced to provide birth control in violation of their religious beliefs. They might be willing to use a person's preferred pronouns or talk about the legacy of slavery in America, but that doesn't mean they tolerate the insanity of transgenderism or the institutionalization of critical race theory in public schools. There's more to this, folks, and I'll get into it because there's another profound point, and then I'm going to make the point about how you can retake control of Congress. Yes, you. Even in Blue Oregon. Back in a moment, another hour to go at 6:59.